Glory be to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word of life. Thank God for the gospel. Hallelujah. So this is Every Day with Jesus broadcast, episode 68. And we've been studying sanctification. Hallelujah. Metaphors for salvation, which is a study in remission of sins. We've seen now that remission of sins goes beyond pardon. It goes beyond telling you to go and sin no more. Remission of sins changes the state or the status of the man. The man that is given the remission of sins is transformed. Hallelujah. The word remission is the word aphesis in the Greek, which means to deliver. It means freedom. It means to set at liberty. So we see that in remission of sins, justification happens. In remission of sins, reconciliation happens. In remission of sins, propitiation happens. And then we are studying sanctification. In remission of sins, we are sanctified. Hallelujah. We are sanctified. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 26:28, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now, the Bible now tells us in Hebrews 10:10, the same offering, the same sacrifice, the same shedding of blood, the Bible says we are sanctified by that offering once and for all, because they are one and the same. Hallelujah. So, in remission of sins, a man is set apart to God. A man is sanctified. Glory to Jesus. There's a change in the state of that man. And in the past 2 days, we've been seeing the difference between a form of godliness and sanctification as it is required from us as believers. We've said how that, or we've seen from scriptures also, how that because we are sanctified, God expects us to walk in sanctification. God expects us to set ourselves apart. God expects us to, you know, stand out or stay separate from the world in our conduct, in our thoughts, in our will. Glory to Jesus. But then you can, a man can get so confused, get so misled about this matter of walking in sanctification that he begins to pick up forms of godliness. He begins to pick up human traditions and rules and regulations, outward codes of conduct. And then he assumes that he's working in sanctification and he's far from it. Hallelujah. Sanctification is not about human traditions. It is not about all manner of prohibitions, anything that comes to your head as a prohibition, anything that you think is moral enough. No, sanctification as it relates to our walk and our conduct is about walking in the Spirit. Hallelujah. It's about a walk in the Spirit. The man that walks in the Spirit is the man that is walking in sanctification. Glory to Jesus. And I connected the dots yesterday. Let's see it again. 1 Thessalonians, just in case you are tuning into the broadcast today, let me connect the dots for you also. And then even if you tuned in yesterday, it is safe that you hear it again. You might just see it in a clearer way today. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, from verse 3. Bible says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Have you seen? So Bible refers to possessing our vessels, which speaks of our bodies anyway, possessing our bodies in honor and sanctification. It refers to walking, abstaining from sexual immorality as a walk in sanctification. And I said yesterday that this does not mean that the believer is meant to start struggling to abstain from sexual immorality. Perhaps before you met Jesus, you were addicted to sex, or you were addicted to pornography or masturbation and all kinds of sexual immorality, all kinds of sexual vices. Now that you are in Christ, it is not expected of you to start struggling to not commit those habits. It is not expected of you to start struggling to abstain from sexual vices and immorality. What you are meant to focus on is to walk in the Spirit. Because the Bible says in Galatians 5:16, so then I say to you, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So you see that the only way a man is not going to walk in passion or lust like the Gentiles
is if he's walking in the Spirit. The only antidote to the lust of the flesh, to fulfilling the lust of the flesh, is a walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. A walk in the Spirit. Look at Galatians chapter 5. We'll see verse 16, 17. Galatians 5, 16, 17. So a walk in the Spirit is our own way of walking in sanctification. It is not by rules, codes of conduct, human codes of conduct, ethics. No, it's by walking in the Spirit. Glory to Jesus. What do we do? You see, many times, let me quickly say this. Many times, believers have been trained to not trust the simplicity of the gospel. Believers have been wired to trust in complex procedures. Things that sound so wise and complicated. Things that sound, you know, so beyond their reach. Something that, you know, will say to you and then you'll be like, wow, how do I go about it? Believers have been wired to trust in such things more than they trust in the gospel of Christ to fix their conduct and their habits. And it's a very bad place. Several years ago, some 4, 5, or 6 years ago, someone walked up to me and was complaining about how she's been addicted to sex and she doesn't even know what to do. She doesn't know what to do, and she was wailing and lamenting. And I said, see, it's simple. Let's get started, you know, by studying God's word together. Let me begin to teach you the word of God. Let me show you who you are in Christ Jesus. Let me show you the real stuff you are made of, beyond your limitations, your flaws, your weaknesses in the body. Let me show you the real stuff you are made of. And I began to teach. Hallelujah. I discovered that she wasn't really very impressed. Glory to Jesus. And a lot of people have come along, you know, over the years. Some have stayed, some have left unimpressed. Because they were expecting something deeper. They were expecting me to say, okay, you know what to do? Well, maybe you should walk away from your phone for some time. Maybe you should. They were expecting some complex procedures. Or maybe even give you some exercises on how to distract your mind from things. And see, people just want something deeper than the gospel. But the gospel is the only deep thing that God has offered us in Christ Jesus as a way to walk in the Spirit and to walk free of the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. The gospel is simple. And you see, it is that simplicity that offends people. Hallelujah. It is too simple. You want me to say 50 steps? Hey, now you are talking. Since morning. Now you are talking, Jare. Then you now sit down and balance. Then I'm reeling out 50 steps that you know that, see, now you need to work hard. You need to roll your sleeves and be set for work. You see, it gives you an idea of there's a lot of work to be done. But you see, that's the reason why you never walk free of the lust of the flesh. Glory to Jesus. Because you can't combat the lust of the flesh with fleshly gimmicks. It's impossible. So God has only one solution. What is God's answer to a bad marriage? The word of God. A walk in the Spirit. A marriage that has two individuals walking in the fruit of the Spirit will do well. Glory to Jesus. What is God's answer to addictions? His word. A walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. What is God's answer to unforgiveness? A man who struggles to forgive. God's word. The gospel. A walk in the Spirit. Glory to Jesus. What is God's answer to a man that is struggling with self-control, is unfaithful to his spouse? God's word. A walk in the Spirit. You see, it's very simple. Some of you already been offended already. You already been offended. It's too simple. Hallelujah. It's too simple. And then, okay, let me add one more. What is God's solution to a man that is battling bad temper or hot temper, a man or a woman? God's word. A walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. What is God's solution to a woman or a man that is walking in jealousy and envy? God's word. A walk in the Spirit. The gospel. The same things. It's so simple. You see, don't be confused. Many times people are tackling individual habits. It's just one problem. The flesh. Hallelujah. All that proceeds from the flesh is suppressed and subdued by walking the Spirit. So it is not about tackling individual habits. The moment the flesh is subdued by a walk in the Spirit, all the works of the flesh are subdued. Hallelujah. So it's not I'm facing anger issues now. When I'm done with anger, I'll now come to envy. No. You are dealing with fruit. The real cause is what the walk in the Spirit undoes. A walk in the Spirit subdues the flesh. It puts the body under. Hallelujah. It dominates the flesh. subdues the influences of the world. And then the man is able to walk in the Spirit and is able to now bear the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit cannot coexist with the work of the flesh. Hallelujah. So if a man is walking in the flesh, he will walk in the works of the flesh. If a man is walking in the Spirit, he would only bear the fruit of the Spirit. Glory to Jesus. So the focus is of the individual habits. It's about the flesh or the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, look at this now. Glory to Jesus. This is very important. You must get this. The moment you get this, your life will change. You stop running helter-skelter, trying to fix things that, you know, have solution in the Word of God. Many Christians trust psychological tips. Many Christians, they trust in earthly wisdom when it comes to these things. You think the gospel only addresses salvation, so you are saved. Well, that's the only thing the gospel can do now. Can the gospel really help me in this area? Someone says, ah, man, you don't understand my husband. His bad temper is out of this world. Well, it is out of this world to you. It is not beyond the word of God. Hallelujah. Someone says, ah, hey, my own wife, her jealousy, my God, I don't know how God wants to handle that one. See, your jealousy is not as strong as the nature of unbelief that Jesus took away. A serious problem, a serious common problem to believers today is that we are in the habit of overrating the works of the flesh. Hallelujah. If Jesus, by the gospel, by his redemptive impact, could destroy the old man, what is the work of the flesh? Do you know the work of the flesh is mainly about influences from the world? Glory to Jesus. It's about the influence of the world. Do you know where the lust of the flesh is? It is not in the believer. It is in the world. Hallelujah. Let's quickly see this. 1 John chapter 2. Glory to God. So you shouldn't be overrating the works of the flesh, which are a result of exposing yourself to the influences of the world. When the impact of redemption happened in your life, it took away the old man. A new man was brought forth. So the gospel has the power to effect such radical change. And then you're overrating the works of the flesh. And then you're trying to seek help from somewhere else outside Christ concerning habits. Ah, man, you need to repent today. Glory to Jesus. If you have believed this error, you must repent today and begin to fix your gaze in the word of God. Begin to fix your gaze in the gospel of Christ alone. The gospel is the power of God to save. And it is the power of God unto spiritual maturity. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2. Look at this quickly. The lust of the flesh is not in the Christian. It is in the world. That's why the believer that will live above the work of the flesh must live separate from the world and its influences. If you are able to separate yourself, set yourself apart from the world, you will walk in victory over the lust of the flesh. 1 John chapter 2 from verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Have you seen where's the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes? In the world, not in the believer. It's in the world. The lust of the flesh is not yours. The lust of the eyes is not yours. Glory to Jesus. You have escaped. You have been delivered from the lust that is in the world. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at this carefully. Verse 3. Bible says, according as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Have you seen? You already escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You already have been delivered from the lust that is in the world. Hallelujah. If the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, are in the world, and Jesus already called you out of the world, it's a pointer to the fact that you've been delivered from the lust that's in the world. Hallelujah. So the works of the flesh are not to be overrated. They are simply influences of the world upon your mind. That's why it's a call to renew your mind by the word of God. To the degree that you renew your mind, you walk free of the lust of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, look at this now. Galatians chapter 5. Glory to Jesus. So we are not tackling individual habits that have come as a result of the influence of the world. And you know, of course, every believer will start out trying to renew his mind from the influence of the world. that we were delivered from, because we grew up with those habits, we grew up with those influences. So now that we are saved and changed, we still have the conduct or the character of the old man. The nature is gone, but the conduct, the lifestyle that we've imbibed, those things are still there. So we begin to correct our mindset, our thinking, by the word of God. And as we renew our minds, we just discover that we find ourselves spontaneously putting on the character of the new man. Glory to Jesus. The character of the new man begins to find expression as we renew our minds with the truth of the word of God. Praise God. So, look at this now. Galatians chapter 5. Glory to Jesus. Galatians 5 verse 16. I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lust against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Now the flesh goes beyond the body. The body is the vessel through which the activities of the flesh or of the spirit can be expressed. Hallelujah. So the body itself is not the flesh we are referring to here. Of course, there's the use of the word flesh for the body. But in this context, the flesh that is lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh is not merely the body. Hallelujah. Speaks of the influence of the world. Speaks of the influence of the world. Hallelujah. Influence of the world. Glory to Jesus. Influence of the world. Human nature. Hallelujah. It goes beyond the body. Amen. Now, the body is referred to as the temple of the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19. And verse 20 says, you should glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So God owns your body, he owns your spirit. Hallelujah. Now, your body can be used to serve God. But the flesh can never bow to the influence of God. The flesh can never please God. The flesh can never be used in the service of God. The flesh can never serve God. But your body can serve God. Because your body is not the flesh you are referring to here. Glory to Jesus. Your body can be used to serve God. You can present your bodies to God a living sacrifice. You can go about with your body serving the Lord. But the flesh will never bend to the will of the Father. Glory to Jesus. The flesh here speaks of the influence. That's why it says the flesh lost against the spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary to one another. They will never work together. Glory to Jesus. So your body is not the major problem. Listen. Your body is not the major problem. Your body is not the major problem. The influence of the world is. And that's why your mind is even stronger than your body. Your mind is more powerful than the body, because the body as it is just there. The body can be used for anything. The body has no value of its own. If you want to use it to serve God, it will follow. If you want to use it to serve the lust of the flesh, it will follow. The body has no particular value of its own. It's just there, mortal. Natural. Glory to Jesus. So your mind is more powerful than your body, because it's even the mind that determines which activities the body would submit to. So if the mind is carnal, the body becomes an instrument of carnality. If the mind is spiritual, the body becomes an instrument for serving spiritual things. Glory to Jesus. So Galatians 5:16 speaks of the flesh lusting against the spirit, opposed to the spirit, and this goes beyond your body. This is about the world's influence. Hallelujah. So Bible says in verse 18, but if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Glory to Jesus. So if you look at all the works of the flesh, all the works of the flesh can be summed up as the lust of the flesh. It's all one and the same. Now, there's no particular individual that walks in all these works of the flesh. It just means when you walk in the flesh, you have a tendency to manifest any of these things. It doesn't mean that if a man is walking in the flesh, he would always be walking in all these things. No, that's not it. But you have a tendency. It could be lack of self-control. It could be unfaithfulness. It could be wrath, outburst of wrath. It could be that anytime you are walking in the flesh, there's this serious temper issue. For another person, it's jealousy. For another person, it's fornication or adultery. Anytime you walk in the flesh. So you discover that it is not that you are walking in all the works of the flesh. Hallelujah. Sometimes you have like 3 or 4 of these habits or traits. However, in addressing them, you are not trying to deal with them one by one. You just focus your mind on, you just focus your effort on renewing your mind and walking in the spirit. Hallelujah. The focus is not on trying to subdue the habits. No, it's on walking in the Spirit. As you walk in the Spirit, you are able to walk above the lust of the flesh. Glory be to God. So a walk in the Spirit is very essential. A walk in the Spirit is how we walk in sanctification as believers in Christ. How exactly did Jesus himself walk in sanctification? Glory to Jesus. How did Jesus walk in sanctification? Obviously, he was filled with the Spirit. Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was a man filled with the Spirit, was a man led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. He was a man filled with the Spirit, was a man led by the Spirit. He lived his life filled with the Spirit. Because that's the only way to walk in sanctification. You can't walk in sanctification by struggling, by trying to, you know, put on an outward form of godliness. It's by walking in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And a walk in the Spirit is only made possible and effective by the renewing of your mind. You must fix your mind, your thoughts, your thinking, your mindset on the Word of God. Glory to Jesus. You must fill your mind with the Word of God. You must dwell in the Word of God. You must let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. You must meditate in the Word day and night. And you must be found praying. You must adopt the prayer culture of Jesus, in the which you withdraw to pray and you are found praying at all times. That's the only way to walk in the Spirit. And that is your walk in sanctification. Hallelujah. It is not by trying not to sin. It is by walking in the Spirit. Renew your mind with the Word of God. Romans 12, 1 to 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world. That is, be separate from the world. How? By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. So the transformation is going to come by the renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. By the renewing of your mind. So there is instruction given to us in the Bible, in the New Testament, on being filled with the Spirit. Because it's as we are filled with the Spirit, we are able to walk in sanctification. Glory to Jesus. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 5. I'll read from verse 16. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5 from verse 16. Let me read from verse 15. I would say, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Have you seen? So how does a man understand what the will of the Lord is? Verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Understand, the way you are going to discern the will of God at all times is by being filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, he says to be filled with the Spirit. By that, you are able to discern the will of God at all times. Hallelujah. So, of course, this shows you that your mind plays a critical role. It says to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. As you sing to the Lord, as you make melody in your heart, your mind is affected. Your emotions are renewed. Your emotions are being aligned to the truth of the Word of God. And that's the only way you are going to walk in sanctification in Christ Jesus. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. A man is going to walk in sanctification. He's going to walk separate from the world. He's going to walk differently from the world and its system and its mindset and its culture and its orientation as he fills his mind with the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Have you seen? The reason why the Gentiles walk the way they do is because their minds are futile. So if a man's mind is yet futile, though he's in Christ, he will walk like the rest of the Gentiles. The reason why the apostle is giving instruction to not walk like the rest of the Gentiles is because it is possible you are born of God, you have the Holy Ghost, you are forgiven, justified in Christ, sanctified, you have all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, seated with Christ Jesus, yet your mind is futile, and you're walking like the Gentiles. It is very possible. Hallelujah. I never be found saying, a old Christian. A true born again Christian. See. If your mind is deficient, you are going to live like the world. In spite of the fact that you've been transformed. and changed inwardly. Your outward, your lifestyle as a person would conform to the ways of the world because your mind is deficient. Your mind is yet futile. Hallelujah. So he says, don't walk like them in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness. It says, but you have not so learned Christ. Hallelujah. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, have you seen? There's a teaching. There's yielding to learning and being taught that begs a transformation. If indeed you have been taught, as the truth is in Jesus, that to put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. So he calls it your former conduct because it is no longer your conduct now. It is not your new life. It is not your new character. It is not your new conduct. It's your former conduct. Hallelujah. It grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So you see that your mind has to be renewed if you are to walk according to the new life you have received. You can't leave your mind behind. You can't say, well, I don't care what comes to my mind. I don't care what I feed my mind with. It doesn't matter what I expose my mind with or what I expose my mind to and things like that. See, it matters a lot what you expose your mind to. It matters a lot. In fact, your mind can be the demobilizer. All the abilities of God on the inside, yet your mind will demobilize you. You won't be able to walk in the things of the Spirit. You won't be able to walk in the things of God because your mind is exposed to filthiness. Hallelujah. Your mind is exposed to the filth that's in the world. Your mind is exposed to contrary opinions. Your mind is exposed to the world so much that it has choked the seed of the word of God. And you are going to live like the Gentiles. You are going to live like your unbelieving friends. You are going to live like those who are yet to be saved, though you are saved. Your mind can demobilize you in walking in things of spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Verse 24, it says, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Then from verse 25, it begins to mention the fruit of renew your mind. The fruit. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So have you seen? All these are offshoots of renewing your mind, walking in the Spirit. Hallelujah. See, don't separate the instructions you find in the Bible from themselves. When you find instructions given in the book of Ephesians, and then you read Colossians, you find the same instructions. They are said differently, but they are the same instructions. Hallelujah. And you know, this is the instruction given to the Galatians. Galatians 5:16 to 22, 23, 24, 25 is the same instruction said in a different fashion. Hallelujah. So, a result of renewing your mind is that you would put away lying, you would not be angry, you would not dwell in anger, you would not steal any longer if you were stealing, you would have something to give to those who have need as you labor with your hands, you would, no corrupt word will proceed from your mouth, but that which is a defying. Hallelujah. Your words will begin to impart grace to the hearers. And then by so doing, all bitterness. If you go to verse 30, you do not grieve the Spirit by whom you were sealed to the day of redemption. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Have you seen? These are offshoots of renewing your mind. Verse 32, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. It is as you renew your mind. It is as you focus your mind on the word of God. It is as you choose to not walk like the rest of the Gentiles in the futility of their mind by renewing your own mind to the word of God that the attitudes and the conducts of the new man will begin to find expression through you. Hallelujah. And this is what Paul discusses into chapter 5. You know, there were no chapters. Hallelujah. So it's still the same line of thought. Chapter 5 verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and giving himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. How does a man walk in love? By walking in the Spirit. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. So you can't love as Christ loved the church, as Christ loved us. You cannot love as Christ loved us if you don't walk in the Spirit. Verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. The same thing he says Gentiles are walking in. He says, don't let it be named among you. It's the same thing he's saying. The same thing he said at chapter 4 is the same thing he's saying at chapter 5. Hallelujah. Don't let it be named among you. Verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Now, before you get this mixed up to say, that means if a believer commits any of these things, then he has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Now, that's not what he's saying. Hallelujah. That's not what he's saying. He's trying to show you that God still disapproves these things, and that those who make a practice of these things have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. That is, those who own this conduct, like I showed you, he calls it your own former conduct at chapter 4. So it is not yours. Those who still own and possess this conduct have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. They are not of God. Hallelujah. So he's showing you the example not to emulate. Because these guys are not in the kingdom of God, you must not emulate it. And you see, that's why he ends it the way he says it at verse 7. He now says in verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Verse 7, therefore do not be partakers with them. So there is us and there is them. Who are the them? The people who are not in the kingdom, who own this conduct, who own these works of the flesh. It belongs to them. Hallelujah. He says, so don't be partakers with them. Hallelujah. He now says in verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So because you are no more darkness. Hallelujah. So it is not your conduct. It is not your own lifestyle. So it is not yours. You are not to be a partaker with them. Don't emulate. Don't follow their example. You are rather to be imitators of God. Verse 1 of chapter 5. You are rather to be imitators of God as dear children. Because the truth of the matter is this. We are always imitating someone. Hallelujah. So if you are not found imitating Christ, you'll be imitating the world. If you are not walking in the spirit or walking after the spirit, you are going to be walking after the flesh and walking in the flesh. It's that simple. Glory to Jesus. So it's pointing us to what we are meant to emulate. And of course, this is what it discusses down to what we saw earlier in chapter 5. Walking in the spirit, being filled with the spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and all. So it goes back again to show us how this is done. It is by being filled with the Spirit. It is by having our minds immersed in the influence of the Spirit. So our sanctification, which we are expected to walk in as believers, is a walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. We'll continue from here tomorrow. Do good to tune in. Invite somebody, your friends, your family members, colleagues, classmates, schoolmates, anybody at all. Put on your WhatsApp status, Facebook wall. Just invite people, Twitter, Instagram, and let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And do have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of prayer, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.